What's going on in Connecticut? Find out on Wake Up with Finch and King, only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And wake up and welcome to your radio home for truth, justice, and democracy. If you're weary, if you're feeling worn down, then wake up. Every Sunday is for you. 1 hour every Sunday, Connoisseur Media allows me and Melissa, who's now on our Jingo, yay,
finally,
to bring you guests that will provide not only the information you need, but a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of American democracy and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. We're going to preserve our freedoms. We're going to resist. And we're here today with a power couple that you'll hear in a second. I know, Melissa, I know. We're
going to
hear
give it away.
The history of this great couple and the firm that they run. It's just a pleasure to have our guests today. I've known them for generations.
Well,
and here is the intro.
I'm queuing up like a real surprise here. So I'm not even going to tell anybody.
I didn't tell them their names.
No, exactly. I like that. And so good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I'm so happy your name is on there.
I am really happy my name's on there. But you know what? I got to say,
everybody
reeling
does
my
interrupt
week.
You all the time.
I know. It's okay. I like it. But I got to get it off my chest. I am reeling this week, not only because of the indictment of Letitia James, absurdity, blowing up of more boats off the coast of Venezuela, ICE raids, National Guard being sent now from red states to blue states. But as I say, generally from the last 10 months of the consistent chipping away of our democratic institutions and intensifying of retribution and political violence. And as I always say, listener, if you, like me and Bill, feel that our government and our country are almost unrecognizable right now, you are in the right place. This is not a drill. We need to stand up for what's right and for the rule of law. We need to be peaceful and persistent. We need to be the resistance. And to do that, we need to stay informed. And that's why I love this show, because we've got the best guests who tell us how to do that. And this morning is no exception. We have a double whammy, as Bill said, a power couple whose names are synonymous with meaningful work and good trouble. Josh Koskoff and Darcy Hicks are known throughout Connecticut and far beyond for standing up and fighting back against injustice and for the causes that matter. And they just happen to be married. Josh is the latest in a line of Koskoffs.
You're lucky she let to keep your name.
I know. I had to fight for it, Bill.
I'm not going to have the time to tell everybody all the great things Josh has done, Bill.
But that last comment spoke volumes.
I guess it did. He did. He married Darcy. Well, he is the latest in a long line of Koskoffs to lead the Bridgeport firm of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter, and he continues the family's tradition of dedication to representing individuals against powerful opponents in challenging cases. Josh notably attained two historic victories on behalf of families of victims of the Sandy Hook shooting, the groundbreaking settlement against Remington Arms, who marketed the AR-15 used in the shooting, and a second historic victory that secured a verdict on behalf of 14 Sandy Hook family members against Alex Jones for peddling and profiting from false claims that the shooting was a hoax. That's a verdict of nearly $1.4 billion that I believe, Josh, is one of the largest defamation verdicts, if not the largest, in American history. And for 25 years, he's won tough courtroom battles, establishing record verdicts.
Never shy away.
No. He's received numerous awards and recognition for his work, including being named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Interesting People of 2025. And he truly embodies the belief that the role of the law is a means to improve his clients' lives and an agent for change, which only works when it works for all people, not just those in positions of power. The other half of this unbelievable couple is Darcy Hicks, who is an artist, an activist, a teacher, and an educational development specialist. She's worked in various Connecticut public school systems, including Westport, Bridgeport, and New Haven. And she's now the director of education at the Norwalk Art Space, a gallery that supports diverse artists and offers free art and music classes to students who don't otherwise have access to arts education. She's published and presented her research on the connection between art, literacy, and community engagement, both nationally and internationally, through Yale Press, the East West Coast Conference for Humanities, the National Council for Teachers of English, and various other professional publications. But she found her activism legs in college when she helped shut down the administrative building at Smith College in a call for divestment from
those radicals. Those radicals. It's an insurrection.
Since 2016, she has organized dozens of protests, vigils, rallies, and marches through her group, Defend Democracy of Connecticut, which I consider myself a proud member. And we're going to hear all about
it. And just later. Switching roles here, I have to go to breaks. We have commercials before you can even talk.
Oh, my God. No,
pay
just
for
at least
time.
Say hello.
Hello. Hi. And thank you for making us sound like the cool kids.
All right. We'll be back with a lot about you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's find out what's on their minds. It's Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And we're back. This is Melissa Kane, along with Bill Finch on WICC. And we're talking this morning, although we have yet to hear their voices, with Darcy Hicks and her husband, attorney Josh Koscoff, who both are fighting in their own ways and sectors to ensure that we continue to live in a country where the Constitution matters. Good morning, guys. I just want to start with the fact that you met in high school.
Wow.
And I want to ask, was it that
passion? I never met anybody in high school like Darcy.
Was it the passion for making the world a better place that brought you together, or did that kind of evolve?
I think it evolved.
Yeah.
I think we grew up in a very different time, you know, where...
You had to bring Josh along for the ride.
Well, kids our age, you know, high school kids today are so much more civilly engaged and understand what's happening and have access to, you know, what the daily events. We did not
That's heartening
grow up
to
in
hear.
That world. If anybody grew up in the 80s, they
know
that we were
I
not
feel
thinking
like I was
about
like
that
no
stuff.
Nuke.
Big
that
hair.
Was where I started.
Yeah, no,
well,
we
I want to go even further back than that. Josh and Darcy. Darcy, you married into a clan of activists who had used...
What type of clan, Bill?
A very liberal Jewish clan.
Okay, there you go.
C-L-A-N, please. Yes.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
that.
Very, very clarify. Make that clear. You know, by the way, we're all Democrats here, and our party was the party of the KKK. You could not be in the KKK if you weren't a Democrat. So we've evolved a lot. And one of the ways we've evolved through society is through law firms, like activist firms like Koscoff, and Beter, who could be anywhere in the world. They're a world-renowned firm. They could be located in London, Paris, and New York, but they're in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And they're a small firm that fights above their weight, but it's the first name you hear in Bridgeport, in New Haven, in Hartford, in New York, for people who are downtrodden, who have been discriminated against. You know, my first exposure to your firm was through Linda Grossberg, who ran the local League of Women Voters. God rest her soul. She got me involved in politics. We went into the Ted Koscoff firm with this modern spiral staircase and a water fountain right in downtown in the old Stratfield Hotel.
New York Mets colors.
Yeah, the Mets colors were
royal
all around.
Blue and orange.
Yeah, it was so exciting to be there. And, you know, I was sort of thinking, like, am I supposed to be here? This is Ted Koscoff's firm, the giant guy with the white hair and the white suit and the cigar. Kind of looked like a little cross between Mark Twain and Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, Josh does not look like that.
No.
And Josh, let me bring us, if you don't mind, Bill, I'm going to bring us a little into the
Well,
present.
I just want to make the final point
that
this firm has a history of fighting for us. We see this dissolution of our democratic institutions. We see the person who will be not named, who is a quasi-leader of this country, dissolving our rights, taking our rights away. And we thought we would have to fight the likes of Richard Nixon and the second George Bush for taking rights away. They were milquetoast compared to this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy has cut the legs off of the Republican elephant and all walking around on four stumps. So I just think that it's just a terrible time we're in, and we need your firm more than ever. And Bridgeport should be so lucky to have you here.
Yeah, and speaking of which, your firm is currently represented.
We are going to let you guys talk.
I'm trying to get there. Your firm is representing former FBI Director Brian Driscoll against Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, and you also recently filed an amicus brief for Lisa Cook in her case against the Fed. Can you talk to us about the importance of those cases, why you're doing this?
And why does it matter to some guy walking by your office in Bridgeport?
Well, I think it matters to all of us. We're all in this together, and it's I like to say it's an all-hands-on-deck situation. Speaking of my grandfather, some of the cultural things that I inherited principally was the role of the lawyer to stand between the abuse of governmental power and the individual.
And the power of private corporations.
Well, and the abuse of corporate power in the individual. So basically the lawyer on the side in between these this power struggle that is on the right side, in other words, the losing side, trying to equal the playing field. So these cases, Melissa, are very much in keeping with the culture of our firm. I think my grandfather would have insisted that we be involved doing whatever we can These are not cases that you take to keep the lights on. Yeah. You hope the lights don't go off, but you feel compelled to take them as a. And it's really the bar, the lawyers who I value, the law firms I value are all stepping up. And those you're seeing in the legal profession, what you're seeing in the universities and corporate America, you're seeing those who are standing up and those who are taking the knee. And I think history will remember those who stood up and those who took the knee very differently.
Governor Pritzker's in the New York Times today saying those very points. I'd recommend people to that article.
He's definitely someone standing up. We had Chris Maddie from your firm on, and his background is in corruption.
So we have a high standard to meet today.
But looking at it from the perspective of how you fight corruption is fascinating as well.
Yeah, I mean, basically, and I just to give the correct perspective here, I consider our firm to be a Connecticut law firm serving Connecticut people in terrible individual situations. What motivates me is harm to individuals, helping individuals get back on their feet through the legal system. It's not necessarily taking a case just to get our name in the paper. It's not that at all. Or that ends up in the paper. It's just, you know, if it has a justice angle, a broader public interest angle, then all the better. But it is a time that where. I just think we have to be available to anyone and everybody that needs us in sustaining their way of life and justice here.
To help put things right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Whether it's compensation.
It's coming left and right. Like, they're flooding the zone, you know, so we're really lucky to be in a position to take these cases. And Chris, being a former prosecutor, is a great person to have as a wingman on these efforts.
Yeah, he was... We were thrilled to have him here. I have to ask you both, you know, this is the type of work you're doing, and it's heavy, and it's talking about, you know, protecting our civil liberties in this country, individual and really group. Do you bring your work home? Do you talk about it at home with each other? And
or do you just cry about the Mets?
Or both.
Well, or Darcy, are you a Yankee fan?
No.
Is this a miscarriage?
I'm a Mets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a Detroit Tiger fan. I'm wearing my
We're
Tiger
aligned
hat.
In most things. We spend a lot of time at home talking about this stuff. And I think that is helpful. We tackle it in such different ways that the conversation tends to be, very informative every time we talk about it, because he's really, you know, I'm not a lawyer. He's going at this through a system that
thank God
I don't have access to.
Too many lawyers.
And thank God I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. But because I would not do well in court. But
I don't know about that. I do well everywhere.
I'm really much more about the community. You know, I even learned, you know, when I was in college, like, this is about my peers, my classmates. You know, what do we want ourselves? How do we want ourselves to be represented? Mm-hmm. That's really how I've always driven what I do.
Yeah.
And Josh's role is to help people be represented. You know, so we're kind of on different like platforms, but we do. We talk about what we do a lot at home in a way that I think is just a process. You know, we both have to kind of think through how we're doing it, why we're doing it. And it's very helpful to have that, that board to shoot things off
of. And I'm guessing you've brought your values into your home. You have adult children. Are any of them working in roles similar to the type of work you are doing, or this type of focus, I should say?
Not yet.
No,
they're getting
not at all.
There.
They've escaped.
They're all artists.
Okay, but
different types.
But they are very much following in your footsteps.
I consider art a form of rebellion these
will you,
days.
Well, it's going to be restricted by the Trump administration, too. I mean, the Kennedy
to
Center. We're
going to
restrict what you can see. At the end of most of our shows, we'll do a banned book section. Victoria Woodard from the Banned Book Club in Orange comes in and reviews a book. She's had a Little League commitment for the last couple of weeks, but we're going to get back to that. They're trying to ban our books.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've been on that fight, too. So it's
and by the way, we should mention, just for clarity, you forgot to read the part of my biography that says I'm against fascism.
You're right.
Anti-fascist.
Well, actually, that was banned.
There's
just in case that wasn't clear.
Anti-fascism.
Antifa.
I get it.
There's four Antifa people right here. My favorite post on Facebook I put up recently was a map of the invading forces at Normandy Beach where my father was, and seeing them label this as the forces arrayed on June 5th, 1944 of Antifa.
Right.
So I've started a hashtag. Everybody use it. My father was Antifa.
Yeah.
Your father was Antifa.
We're all anti.
You're listening to Wake Up on WICC, the voice of Connecticut. I'm Melissa Kane, along with Bill Finch. And our guests this morning are Josh Koscoff and Darcy Hicks, in case you didn't know. We've got a few more minutes before our break. And Darcy, I would love for you to talk to us a little bit about what you just said. How is art a form of rebellion? And how does that inform the type of protests that you lead?
Well, you know, I tell this to my own kids because I think that there's a lot of pressure.
What medium do you work in?
I'm a painter.
Beautiful.
But
you're a sculptor too, no? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But I think really, you know, any form of creative act these days is a form of rebellion. If you think about what's going on with, you know, kids being hooked on phones, you know, AI, everything out there wants us, you know, the technocrats or whatever you want to call them, they want us to stop creating and they want us to stop thinking for ourselves. So I do feel that the arts, any form of creation, any form of self-expression, whether you're out on the street protesting or whether you're painting or whether you're writing a poem, is a form of rebellion against that culture that is trying to take over. So in working with the students at the Norwalk Art Space, you know, I tell them, like, you, what you're doing when you create something is really in opposition to what people are sort of starting to try to get us to, how they want us to live our lives. And so I do think that this sort of expression and creating things and using our hands, for God's sake, which we never do anymore, is important for us to all be focusing on that as well as using our voices.
Well said.
Very well said. And on that thought.
And it's being eroded.
On that thought, we're going to have to take a quick break for the news, and we will be right back with Josh and Darcy. I'm Melissa Kane with Bill Finch, and this is WICC.
Fairfield County Talk for Sunday morning. Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Hello again. This is Melissa Kane here with Bill Finch, and we are waking you up on WICC this Sunday morning.
I got to say it like this. Wake up!
We say however you want, Bill. Do it again.
Wake up with Kane and Finch.
Yeah.
Or Finch and Kane.
Yeah. We're back with Mary.
Or Koscoff
and
Beater.
Activist and dedicated legal advocates, Darcy Hicks, she's the activist, and Josh Koscoff, who is the unbelievable
power couple.
Power couple. And I wanted to turn our attention to something that is where I've interacted with both of you over the years on, and it obviously is important to me, which is the overlap of your work in gun violence prevention. Now, I don't know if that's by accident or happenstance, but it's something that's very, very important to both of you and in an area where you have both made huge impact. Let's start.
Or is it just because we live in the most violent country in the world?
Yeah. Well,
maybe that.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Darcy, I want to start with the work that you did focused on Bridgeport with Unload.
Yeah. I miss it. Unload USA is no longer for complicated reasons, mostly to do with COVID, but it was started by Mary Himes.
Jim Himes.
Shout out to Jim.
Spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, who Jim Himes is lucky to be married to. And she...
He would agree it's his better half.
Yeah, oh yeah. yeah, she's a real powerhouse. And I think that she felt, as I do, that sometimes, you know, no offense to politicians, things get very clogged.
I'm in recovery.
Yeah, things get very clogged in the political realm. And so, you know, we all need to... You don't have to be a politician or an attorney, and you know, or any particular thing to do something. And I think that that's the main thing. It's like you said, Bill, you know, you got to keep your head up and
say
ready.
What you believe.
And your focus really was artists coming together.
And so Mary, you know, especially after
Sandy Mary's Hook, an artist.
Mary's also an artist. But even before Sandy Hook and then certainly after Sandy Hook, You know, the frustration of how can we tackle this? It's a whack-a-mole problem. You know, was on both of our minds, on everybody's minds. And she started this foundation called Unload USA, and I helped with the sort of the youth part of it. So what, Melissa, you're remembering is that, you know, with the help of, in fact, I think we were on this show about this years ago, with the help of Jemaine West, who is a Bridgeport or an area artist. We did some education and art projects with kids around Bridgeport in the area of really creating things that voice their opinion and solutions about gun violence.
And I've got to imagine
the powerless.
Exactly. I've got to imagine that it helped them to process trauma.
Yes. Many of the kids that we worked with had experienced gun violence in some way, shape, or form, either lost someone, sometimes a parent, and sometimes a friend.
Yeah.
Their perspective in the very beginning of the course was, why are you asking us for our opinion? Mm-hmm. We have no voice. Yeah. There's nothing we can do.
And as we all know, that part of the strategy for giving people back their communities and trying to end this epidemic of gun violence that really does hit these communities mm-hmm. the hardest mm-hmm. is giving people voice and giving.
And you don't have to be a direct victim either. I mean, I just briefly tell you this story. My son Christopher, who was briefly affiliated as an intern with you, Josh, he has a classmate named Christopher. The other Christopher is waiting for his sister to get off the bus, sitting on a stone wall, and is shot dead by a drive-by shooter. And my Christopher lives, and that Christopher dies. It's like the other Wes Moore. Yeah. You know, it's this terrible set of circumstances that if you live in America, it doesn't have to be a city, because let's face it, the red states are far more violent with guns than the blue states, because we control guns better than they do.
The guns.
But, it's the guns.
Yeah, it's the guns. It's not.
It's the guns. Josh, you know, after a nearly 10-year battle, I think it was, you won that settlement for the 9 Sandy Hook families against Remington. And when you did that, you were able to overcome what was previously seen as an immunity for gun makers because of PLACA. And, you know, it was paving a way for something that we didn't think was possible. I think it was a $73 million case that was the largest settlement ever to be paid for families of a mass shooting. The importance of that being that that was the entire amount of insurance available to the bankrupt, to bankrupt this company. And, you know, you and I have talked over the years about the importance of how do we hold the companies responsible mm-hmm. who are making and marketing these weapons of war that are being sold to, you know, civil society here. How do we hold them responsible so that they start using best practice and maybe thinking twice before they do such things? I'd love your thoughts on what are the next steps. How do we actually do that?
Well, I think there's a perception. There had been a long perception problem, just for your audience who may not be familiar with the role of a lawsuit and the possibility of what a recovery can do like this for going forward.
Sure.
But I think there was a perception that by the gun industry that they were immune from any liability or any
conduct or conscience.
So
because of a federal law.
The misinterpretation of the Second Amendment is where we start.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of overlapping problems here. You've got the perception that the Second Amendment is absolute, which is sort of in the atmosphere always. And then you have an actual law passed by Congress that gives the gun industry extra protections from, like, the oil industry, the tobacco
the
industry.
Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, I believe it was.
Known
as PLACA.
Somebody did their homework.
Well, you know, it's my other job.
Yeah. And
I think we need to have her in your law classes.
Let's not bury the lead here. I'm sitting across from somebody who is an absolute pioneer, and you, Melissa, in this on this issue politically, and has made significant change here in Connecticut, which is really.
She's right up there with Mike Bloomberg.
No, she's. I think she's
above my brother.
But you know, an industry that believes itself to be immune is dangerous, no matter what industry they are peddling and profiting.
And other industry in this country, I believe, enjoys
nuclear power.
Well, maybe
I mean, but more and more prevalent is to Bill's example. Like, you can be sitting on the street. By the way, there is one place that you can be safe from. from gun violence, and that's jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a prisoner, you're safe.
And usually a military base where guns are locked up, unless there's a rogue person.
But. So constrained areas.
Listen, we're going to have to go to a break now, and when we come back,
we've got a couple more minutes, but go for it. We'll get a bigger segment.
Okay, let's go for it. I'm the one
now.
Keeping this on schedule today.
It's
15 minutes to the end of the show.
I want to talk more about guns.
And I wish the show was lasting 15 hours because I could talk with these guys forever. We're going to go to a break. You can write back after this. Thank you, Connoisseur Media.
They've got a lot on their minds, so let's get to it. You're listening to Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
I'm glad we have the new intro, but it's not just the Voice of Connecticut, Melissa. It's the voice of reason.
And the voice of sanity.
Yes.
And the voice of Fairfield County. Let's call it what it is.
Voice of Connecticut and beyond, wherever there's thinking people. What did Adlai Stevenson say when they said that you're going to win this election because all thinking people are going to vote for you? He said, yes, my dear, but I need a majority.
Well, we are lucky to be here with two thinking people this morning, Josh Koskoff and his wife, Darcy Hicks, and we were just talking about gun violence prevention and how the intersection of both of their work in that area. And Josh, I wanted you to, if you can, get back to something you were talking about, which is, you know, what's next?
Yeah, well, I think both Darcy and I both operate outside of the Beltway, so to speak, on this issue. We come to it on like earnestly through our own work, basically. And so what's next? I mean, I think after the Sandy Hook case successfully ended, I thought that would be it for me and mass shooting cases. But within a short period of time, there were three very high profile and destructive and horrible mass shootings.
Speaking of which, and sorry to interrupt, I just heard about a mass shooting in South Carolina this morning. So far, I think four people confirmed dead and maybe 20 people injured.
All you have to do in America is wait for the next violent bus to come along.
It would have been more shocking if you said, speaking of which, I checked the news and there's been no mass shootings.
Yeah. It's a really good point.
That would be more shocking.
What's it going to take for us to wake up? This is the most violent nation in our red states that lick the boots of Donald Trump, and our red areas, even of Connecticut, that lick his boots. They want guns. They want violence. They want cuts in Medicare. What the heck is going on?
Well, I think there are things that everybody gets. The reason we're stuck, I mean, there's many reasons we're stuck here, but principally we keep going back to we need new laws. The gun industry needs to do this. But we're not going to get new laws, and the gun industry is not going to change. So it's up to the
certainly
rest of
us. Certainly not nationally.
Right. Well, there you go with Connecticut. I mean, that's getting back to ringing that bell in Connecticut. But even laws can't protect us. I think not the type of laws that we would need, and nobody that's never going
to
happen.
So it needs to be a cultural shift.
I think we have to strong trial lawyers. Well, I think there are really the real place to look that is not looked at enough is the commercial enablers of this industry.
Yeah,
you know, the social media companies, the UPS or FedEx or whoever ships guns, banks, insurance companies, corporate America
into the mind of Koskoff and how he's going to go after this.
Absolutely.
People who give discounts to NRA members. You know, it's everywhere.
I mean, we have to use the grassroots approach and to look at, I mean, look, everybody wishes they lived in a country without gun violence, even extreme gun owners. But we do. We live in a country with gun violence, and we live in a country with lots and lots of guns. That's reality. So all of commercial and corporate America needs to be, their conduct needs to be evaluated against in the world we live in, not the one we wish we lived
in. Yeah, it's a really good point. So you and I worked last year.
Wow, say that again.
I can't.
Not the world we wish we lived in, but the world we live in.
Wake up.
Well, in the world we live in, Josh is making a difference. Josh and I worked together on a law that was passed in Connecticut this last session, the Firearm Industry Responsibility Act. Thank you. And the reason I bring that up is that it speaks directly to what you're speaking about. How do we hold the members of that industry and also perhaps the enablers, to your point, of that industry responsible, by the way, monetarily makes a big difference. That's just Connecticut. That's just here.
And it was a tremendous success by you and the organization, Melissa.
Connecticut Against Gun Violence. Yeah.
No, what wouldn't have happened without great help from Josh Koscoff and his partners.
But until we make it costly for commercial enablers who work with the gun industry in any way, shape, or form, who just walk away from these things, until we make it morally unconscionable, and until you know, and Bill knows, and Darcy knows, and I know, because we have a choice. You know, we have a choice on where to shop. We have a choice on what products to buy. We have a choice on what internet sites to go to.
And you're speaking with your feet and your pocketbook, your wallet, and that's sort of brings us, I'm going to segue into what I want to talk about now, which is something that we need in order to fight not just gun violence, but everything that's going on in this country, which is prolonged and profound pushback, activism against, protest, strikes. And we are coming up this coming weekend. It's October 18th, is a No Kings protest weekend around the country. There are thousands and thousands of protests that are going on. They can't just be, you know, one weekend of it. It has to keep on going. But it's taken, you know, hold, and there are, I think, millions of people will be participating. So if you go to nokings.org, you can sign up for a protest in your area. Darcy, your organization, Defend Democracy, is working with others and planning one of those marches. It's a march and a protest here in Connecticut. I would love you to talk about the importance of these marches at the local level.
Get involved. Yeah.
I think what I've learned in my, you know, years of organizing protests and rallies and vigils is that, you know, we're not Chicago and we're not New York. You know, I live in Westport. This is, you know, all of these towns in Fairfield County, everybody listening to this show lives in a place where community is a lot more, it's a lot more visible. It's a lot more immediate. And so the protests can't just be the voice is yelling outward. They need to be yelling inward to each other in a more soft way, in a more embracing way. And I think that, you know, depending on where you are, protests need to look
maybe
different.
We need both. Maybe this power couple who speaks softly and one who carries a big stick. Maybe we need both.
Well, I think I definitely do sometimes That's carry a very big so stick, as Josh will tell you. But in Westport, we're going to, for example, just so people come, we are having a protest march that starts at Veterans Green at 11 o'clock next Saturday, the 18th.
Okay.
Yep, the No Kings Day for the nation, 11 a.m. At Jessup Green, which is sort of the lower parking lot area of the Westport Public Library. And we'll be marching over to Veterans Green, which is right across from Town Hall. There will be speeches
and music.
And
you don't have to be from Westport to go, right?
Not at all, yeah.
Everyone's welcome.
But it is very much a local feeling when we do these. And I think that cementing the feeling of community is important because, look, I know that, you know, standing on the bridge in Westport is not going to change the world.
No, but
you know?
I just want to interject here that there is a long history of activism
there
standing on the bridge
Stein
in Westport.
Prowse, yeah, United there is. Nations.
The Ruth Stein
yeah.
Prowse.
We all
you
knew
look
Ruth.
Her up. You know.
I mean, since the Vietnam War.
Yes.
There's
since
a lot of symbolism.
Since before the suffragettes.
That's true. Yeah,
we're going to be marching the same path as the Westport suffragettes marched in 1913.
Wow.
So, but I just want to say that, you know,
I will wear my bloomers.
Yeah.
Bill's going to be there.
Sympathy.
I'm going to be there.
They did it in heels, Bill. So, you know, wear the heels, too. But, you know, I think that we're trying to define for anyone running for office.
Give us the time, place,
where
and date
stand,
again, please.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. We're also trying to reach out to each other and really let each other know that we're here. And
I love that. It's a great message. And it brings me, because I'm looking at our time, and we could talk to you guys for hours. We're coming to the end of the time. And I have a question that I like to ask all of our guests. you know, what, if anything, is giving you hope at this moment. But I have another way of asking that question today that my daughter sent me. And I think it's really important. What are your messages to young people growing up in today's world? I mean, thinking about the degree of gun violence, thinking about this horrifically polarized landscape. What do you say to young people growing up?
And who have known no other leader but Donald Trump for the most part.
Who?
Sorry,
well,
is it his name?
Say his
Voldemort.
Name.
What do you say, Darcy?
I say that the one thing I've stopped saying is, you guys have got this. You're gonna take over. Because I think that, you know, what I tend to do when I'm with young people is the first thing I do is I apologize. Mm. I apologize for our generation and the generations before us that did this to the environment, that looked the other way while certain people came into power and let it happen to them. And I try to promise them that we will do our best.
Learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, and just to do our best to ensure that every single person is loved and accepted in this country, and that we will also help the climate to be a place that they can breathe in and swim in going forward. So, I mean, that it's pretty, you know, it's pretty vast promise, but that's what I want. That's what I want
what
to
do,
say, for
Josh?
Them.
I mean, I think we all
sue
have
the bastards.
Sue, yeah, become a lawyer.
Sue the bastards.
Well, that's how you do it, partly.
And if you got a suit, bring her to Wake Up, and we'll
Bill,
refer
these are
it.
Kids, these are kids. They're not lawyers yet.
Yet.
I have two trial lawyers in the family.
That's right.
I'm an unofficial member of your team.
You are a well loved unofficial member. I think. Look, I mean, I think in past generations, my mother. escaped Russia from the persecution, then they escaped Europe. People overcome great odds. Don't look too far ahead, and
survival in a freedom society is sometimes just day to day.
It is. That's what I think.
And thanks to your firm, we've got a lot more days ahead of us of some sunshine and some hope.
Well, yeah, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. We are almost done here. I want to remind everybody that next Saturday, 10/18, October 18, is No King's Day. If you can make it to Westport, great. But there are rallies and marches and protests all over this great country.
Yeah,
and we all need to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wrap it up now and say a huge thank you to our guests, Darcy Hicks and Josh Koskoff, for joining Bill and me this morning.
And our producer, Andrea.
Big thank you to our producer, Andrea, and to all of you, our listeners, for waking up with us.
And again, elections matter. Midterms are coming up. Your local elections are coming up. Get out there and vote. Be woke. Wake up every Sunday.
Thank you, Connoisseur Media. I'm Melissa Kane. So happy to be here with Bill Finch. And we will be back next week, waking up right here on WICC. Have a wonderful Sunday. Stay engaged and stay strong.